outside the box of religious obligation lies a road less travelled, into the heart of the Father's affection. Slinging freedom all over the place, this is the God Gen.
Well, we are back after 3 weeks of hiatusing, and there may be more hiatusing to come. It's hard to say at the moment. And I'll catch up a little bit on that in a minute. I returned from a trip to the East Coast, which was a lot of it on the front end, just wonderful times hanging out with people. And then just a bit of a private time with some friends to do some golfing and watch the Masters out on the coast of South Carolina, which I've never done, and actually got to see an alligator eat a turtle.
One of your friends was involved in that poor turtle's demise, I feel like.
Yeah, you can tell Kyle's here with me. He's actually flown out here to spend the weekend with me to help with some of the stuff that I'm going through. And so it's been a real blessing to have him out here. But man, this is the first podcast you and I have got to do face-to-face in 27 years or something.
Well, no, since the retreat.
We did one in Colorado. We did. Yep. But it wasn't in the studio.
It wasn't in the studio.
With a studio audience. We got Zoe in here hanging out with us. Anyway, the last night we were there, Mike, a friend of mine from Florida, we were standing on the balcony because underneath us all, four days we were there, there's this 9-foot alligator living below us, our deck. The lagoon comes right up to the edge of where the house is, and this alligator's laying there, and every day, all day, sometimes in the water, sometimes on the shore, and got 15 baby alligators around it.
I don't think I would live anywhere close to water in Florida. I wouldn't see that as relaxing. That would cause me angst.
I don't know how to water ski in Florida. That's what I don't know how you do. I would never get in a body of water. I don't mind being near it. It's weird because the first day we were there, we were out around the backside of the house and just never even thought alligator.
Yeah.
The next morning we get up and there's one in the water right there by us. And then it never moved far from that. And then the last day we were there, Mike eating a banana out on the deck and decides to toss it into the pond and tosses it well away from the alligator, just way to the right. And as soon as it hit the water, the alligator, who hasn't hardly seen it move, raises up on all fours and slithers down into the water just as quiet as it could. And then started trolling off down the river toward the splash. And then it gets near the splash and it doesn't take the banana peel. It just kind of hangs out there. And we're like, that was weird. What's going on here? And then we noticed this pretty good-sized box turtle.
Poor, unexpected box turtle.
Coming from the far side of the lagoon. And he gets it. And then you can see it's all happening. The alligator is poised for dinner. The box turtle has no idea. And it's just a cute little turtle. You see a little head popped up. And he's just swimming for all his might with this huge shell on his back. And oh, my gosh. Gets within 5 foot of that thing. And that alligator launched out of the water. Took it down, and I turned to Mike and I said, "You killed a turtle, man. What are you doing?"
A live version of the Discovery Channel in all of its beauty and brutality, I guess.
Isn't that the saddest part of creation? Immense beauty, immense awe, immense that. And then something kills something innocent. Oh gosh, I actually hurt for that poor turtle. I felt bad for him. I guess that's the way of the lagoon. We were trying to think how 15 alligators are going to feed out of that little lagoon. I mean, it's going to be some paring down of the herd or moving on to other ponds, but we were right out on the coast, so there were lots of ponding stuff everywhere, but other than that, great trip, but it turned out that was somewhat prophetic. The old turtle innocently crossing. I flew home on Monday night from my time in South Carolina to a profound tragedy in my life. And I'm going to let Paul describe it for me because I think Paul described it well. I guess before that, maybe though, we'll say I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And I'm Kyle Rice.
And I want to welcome you back to the God Journey for whatever we do today. We're not even sure we're going to get there. But Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians 1. I've always loved this passage. And I thought I've lived this passage before, but I don't think so. Not to this depth. So we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we are experiencing in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. If you want to know about my last 3 weeks, that describes it better than anything I know. I have cried my eyes out. I've hurt for people I love. This is, you're not going to know the details of this because it's not mine to share. But it took me to places I never thought I would have to go. And Jesus has been there. Good news. Even when you despair of life itself, he's there. He's not fixing things the way I would love him to have fixed things. He goes on. Paul says this, indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. It's such that I have had moments where I wished my plane had never landed here and I wouldn't have had to know about the things I know now. But this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril. He will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on your behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. I think that last phrase is probably why people think you need a million people to pray for this kid in the hospital to make God work. And I don't think Paul's saying that. I have been, when I entered into this situation that I entered into coming back, I immediately reached out to a handful of people that are close to me who know everything that's going on. Kyle is one of those. Who he just came out to spend the weekend with me. I don't know that I need bailing out of any place, but I the idea was just to be a distraction.
Yeah.
And so Kyle graciously came out here, but it turned out God had other things in mind in Kyle coming. And I think the reason we're doing a podcast today is because out of this great, painful tragedy in our lives, the ship's beginning to be righted a bit. Can we say that?
Yeah, I think there's been a shift from total despair to there being some hope in on the horizon, some hope in the fact that we do walk with a God who does and continues to raise the dead. And it, the raised dead may not look like what they look like when it first came up, but he has the ability to breathe life into things that were formerly thought to be dead, and that they can rise again in a new form and in a new life. And what?
And we're saying tragedy, but I'll be honest. This really is about healing.
Yeah.
But it had to go to a darker place for healing. And I think the despair early on for me was, I don't think this gets better from here. Yeah. I just don't.
Yeah.
I think some things that I valued in my life are over. And God was there. I mean, the first morning I woke up, I opened my window and I saw something out my window that said that this was unlikely to have happened in that moment. I'm not going to describe it again. I'm sorry. I know some of you are like trying to fill in the details. I'm going to encourage you not to.
Yeah.
Because assumptions are the worst things that we do. And my 3 weeks, there were a lot of assumptions made that I thought were based on pretty good evidence, but since come to learn that things are not as they appear. So that's been very helpful. But God has been present. God has given me insight as to what's going on. And I've been afraid to believe the insight. I'm afraid to believe it's God. Because it's easy for me when God says stuff like, I want you to give it away, not sell it, right? Because that's like, it's hard. So yeah, I don't know that I want to believe that. The things God was saying was giving hope into some despair. And I would make that up for God because I want me to have hope. So that's where I get a little more, because, you know, we see through a glass darkly. So I don't say, well, God spoke and this, I know this, and I'm just going to hold on to it. I'm going, okay, God's breathing hope, not just through an event in nature, for lack of better description, but things I was reading in the scriptures, stories that were coming to mind, song lyrics that were penetrating my heart, conversations with you and many others, probably I said half a dozen. There's probably 8 or 10 that are pretty close, and some are pretty qualified in terms of skills at counseling or whatever, and that have been very, very helpful for me to dig into myself in ways I haven't before, and to dig into stuff for people I love that are part of this whole thing with me. And so that's been really rich. I can look back 3 weeks out now and go, okay, there's a way through this, even if it doesn't resolve the way I hope it resolves.
Yeah.
I mean, the hope has been it's going to resolve in the way I hope. So I'm going, that'd be awesome. But there's also a growing hope that if it doesn't, life goes on. Hmm. And God will have a future and a hope. One of the things early on, I saw this big, like, Jupiter-sized planet that was all one color. It didn't have the lines in it like Jupiter does. And There was a spaceship going by it. And I knew the spaceship was me. Hmm. And as it went by the planet, it curved. It didn't go into orbit, but the gravity of the planet shaped the trajectory of this of the satellite or the rocket ship or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I felt God said this in the midst of the pain. I mean, I was not sleeping. I went two or three nights without any sleep at all. Just could not sleep, racked with agony and prayers to God and prayers for people I love, and just tormented. And in the middle of that, God said, this is a big deal. It is going to change the trajectory of your life, but it's going to lead you into more beautiful places. The first part of that, undoubtedly true. I know. The second part of that, is that Wayne's postscript to make him feel better? I don't think it is, but I always hold that lightly. What if it is?
So in the midst of this, why do you feel like it's been more difficult for you to either trust or distinguish the voice of hope in the midst of this than other ways that God has spoken to you in the past?
Because I think in the Christian traditions I grew up in, we always taught to live by promises, to hope for the best.
Yeah. And
hope deferred makes the heart sick. You know, that's that problem. So I'm always alert to, I know, you know, prayers for somebody with breast cancer, for instance. Oh, they're going to be healed, blah, blah, blah. And some do get healed, mm-hmm. and many more do not, in my experience.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I hold good news lightly. Hmm. And if not, it's not that I don't let my heart embrace it a little bit. Because when I do, like we talked about in our last podcast, Transformation One, we were talking about, you know, being swept up in what God's doing. I have lived that this last 3 weeks. There's the gravity of my despair and gravity of untrue things that I had been told that I thought were true. So that gravity is pulling me here. At the same time, there's enough of this breath of the Spirit that when I'm there, one of the things that's been really rich, and I think we shared on the podcast, Lewis and I had a conversation about the book of Jonah and the idea, you know, why did Jonah do what he did? And Lewis had this dream in which Jesus says in the dream, because he made it about himself. Hmm. That has been a salvation to me in the midst of this. Because when I make it about me, man, it's all downhill from there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where the deep, deep agony for me comes from.
Yeah.
I've got deep agony for other people involved in this situation, but that's where, and then I get lost there.
Yeah.
And so I hear that. I hear the Holy Spirit whisper, don't make this about you. Mm. And when he says that, and I can believe it, and I can go, okay, it's not about me. Then I feel like my agonizing prayers are part of the healing process, not just part of my anguish. Does that make sense?
It does. It's intriguing to me that voice, the don't make this about yourself voice, is much easier for you to accept and discern than some of the other gracious gifts that have been offered in the midst of this time of agony about whether or not is that actually you, is that just my own hopeful thoughts. It's interesting to me.
So are we doing therapy here, Kyle? Is that what you're trying to prove?
I'm just, phrasing back. I'm reflecting back.
I don't mind you going there. Yeah, I don't know the answer to that.
That's okay.
I do think it's easier for me to see truth challenge me than truth comfort me.
Hmm.
Especially with the lies I was dealing with. Now, in the last few days, it's been very helpful to find out what was really going on and what motivated some of people's actions, and it's been really sweet, and Sarah's been a real gift through this, and that's been wonderful. So I feel like, that's why I say, I feel like the ship's kind of righted a bit. It's not going anywhere. It's still dead in the water. There's still sails stripped to shreds and torn apart. So, but at
part
least
of the deck's still on fire.
At least we're not drowning. At least it's not that last guy down with the ship kind of thing, 700 miles from shore. So I am, my heart is encouraged now, and it's easier to believe some of those good things now.
Yeah.
But in the midst of agony, it's, and I took solace in the fact that it says about Jesus with many times, loud cries and tears, he offered himself to God. So yeah. It's not, I don't think those agonizing, despairing moments, and Paul's saying that here in 2 Corinthians, they're not sinful.
Yeah,
they're just the realities of the human experience, the chaos and brokenness of creation and how it touches our lives and makes us doubt ourselves and makes us reevaluate the priorities of my life. And have I done well? Have I not done well at certain things? And then maybe the doing well has opened up the door for healing, but it feels like a failure at the moment.
Yeah.
And so I know it's frustrating for people who don't understand, but hopefully you've got things in your life that you're going, yeah, I've been through some of what Wayne's talking about right here. I've never been here before. I can truly say that.
Yeah.
I've never been in this place. I've never felt more vulnerable. Reason we stopped the podcast and I'm not blogging a lot. Some of that will pick up again because I really need the people in my life that, And I love helping people on their journey. So I know everybody's kind of, I want to write you at some point when you're better. And I'm like, I may not be better for a long time.
Yeah.
But I'm still the person God's made me to be and the insight I've had and talking to some people, a couple people last week that didn't know at all what I was going through, hadn't seen the thing on the God journey or whatever, but were saying, you know, I don't feel like we should talk about this. I feel like you're, or maybe they did see the thing on the one person I'm thinking of and just said, why don't we not do this for a while? And I'm going, gee whiz, helping you in your pain right now. Because I find myself saying stuff to that person that I know I need to say to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I discover it there.
Yeah.
So, but I'm really wanting to be accessible right now to the people I love and to the healing work God's doing. So we may skip some podcasts here and there. Yeah. We may not, but we'll see how it goes. Fair enough?
Yeah, I think that's very fair.
Hopefully you'll be with us on that journey. The next thing we're going to talk about, though, the transformation two, was about God revealing himself, which is interesting because that's I've lived this whole thing in the last 3 weeks. There's two scriptures that really, I think, really helped me zero in here. Jesus said in the temptation saying, man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that God gives. And then you've got the Galatians 3. How does God work among you? Is it because your human effort, you do great things, or because you believed what you heard? And it's really not in the past tense, or is it you believe what you hear? And there's something about Christendom in the 21st century that has lost its encouragement to people about God wants to reveal himself to you. Only through the scriptures, only through the Sunday morning sermon, only through the book that you bought that somebody has vetted through, or only, and I know other people who stick this, or only through words of God that you hear and can identify as words. And I think what I want to say about the revelation of God is that God, that there's a chaos and gravity in the universe that we talked about. And there's a breath of the Spirit blowing through. And that breath of the Spirit is the revelation of God. And it can be something you see out your window. It can be a song lyric you hear in the background of a restaurant. You're waiting for a table. It can be just words from a friend, a line from a movie that penetrate some place in your heart that lets you open and see something you didn't see before. And I think people discount all that. You know, we're so busy in us trying to find God's word. And what I love about this revelation is it's God coming to you. This is not, the gospel is not you've got to get to God. The gospel is God is finding his way to you. And you might be missing it, certainly. I think I miss most of what God says in my life. I've joked about that. I miss 90% of it, I'm sure, when I look back. Because I know when I look back at circumstances going, I missed that. I missed that. Like that one guy wrote us a while back saying, how do you recognize God more in the present instead of looking? We all do that pretty well. But for the last 3 weeks, I've had to anchor my heart in the things God's revealing. And yet, there have been scriptures with that. The whole Jonah story and don't make it about you. That's been life-giving to me. But there's things that I'm reading in 1 John and where I've been reading late, or that in that day, there's something that leaps off the page. And it's not highlighted in golden glitter from God, or it's not, you know, it's just, it hits my heart in a way that goes, you're saying something here. God's been talking to me about tenderness being part of the situation I'm in. And I've had people who don't even know what I'm going through, but just wrote me about that. They found this passage in The Wisdom of Tenderness, which is a book by Brennan Manning, and they want to share it with me. And I just go, there's the word tenderness.
Yeah.
And then you had something, a specific word in your heart that was about tending Sarah's garden.
Yeah.
Tender. Tender. And I heard tender before you got to gardens. I'm going, tender. Yeah. Again, tender. So when God's nudging something at you, he's coming at you in every way he can come at you. Right?
Yeah.
But we're dense. We are dense.
We are. And I think as I love the passage that you started off the podcast with, because whenever I think about going through challenges or trials or the different things that I've faced in my life or have helped other people navigate, my first thought runs to James. And I struggle with that, you know, consider it all joy when facing trials and tribulations, for you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And sometimes I'm like, God, I don't want your freaking perseverance. I think about that. It's like, really? Like, and the passage goes on, right? Where it says that that the hope and the joy may be complete in you. And yet I just think about some of the conversations that you and I have had over the last couple of days and getting surprised by God as I'm sharing with you and just having a conversation with you. And then in the midst of the sharing, another voice clicks on in my head. It's like, Kyle, you need to listen to this. Like, hold on, pay a little more attention to what you're actually saying, because you haven't ever said that before in your life. Right. And you haven't been able to put language around that deep heart work that went inside of you before. Yeah. And I'm giving you that ability. But it's not just for Wayne, it's for you too. So you need to clue into this. So it's,
I love, because I look at every trial I've been through leading to this moment in my life, and they built muscles that are going to help me here. That's how I see that James passage. Yeah. You know, I used to see it like you, like people would talk about playing golf and God's teaching you patience today. God doesn't need a frickin' golf game to teach me patience, okay? That's just my bad swing and my whatever. I just think that kind of talk is cruelly stupid, okay? I'm going to say it right up. But I look back now at every trial I've been through and every way I've learned to lean into God in things far less dangerous than this.
Yeah. Yep.
And so now I'm grateful. So I see God saying, I'm going to teach you. It's not like God's trying to get you the merit badge for perseverance, right?
No. Correct.
It's there's stuff coming down your road that you have no idea about.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let this develop some spiritual muscle in you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let this develop a bit more. And I'm going to let this develop a bit more. Then when you're there, yes. Do I need to be developed a bit more? Yes, 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 yes. But I'm standing on the fact that God has already prepared me for this moment in my life. I'm not unprepared because I've been responding to God as best I knew along the journey.
And I feel like that what you just said there is really important, because it's that relational foundation, right? Of that deepening of trust, that deepening of knowing God's faithfulness in that experience. Like, I think of your last 18 months leading up to these last 3 weeks. And it's like, ooh, you were training for a prize fight in some regards, right? It feels like that to me, of like, Lord, just.
Well, that Gethsemane stuff too, from a year ago, where I felt like I have 3 months to just, you know, I'm going to need to respond in the moment. I thought I'd passed that moment a few months ago.
Yeah.
I thought that's what that was about. Yeah. But even though I'd say that to people, there was something in me saying, I don't think so. And I'm thinking that's pessimistic Wayne, because pessimistic Wayne also lives with here.
Yeah.
He takes up a room somewhere. I'd kick him out if I could find the devil. But I'd dismiss it. And then when this hit, it was now. This is what you were praying about. I've got you. I've got this. I'll get you through. Now, I wish I could have just said, great God, thank you. I'll go sleep tonight. I could hear those things and know the depth of the pain. But I also knew in the depth of whatever pain I was in that God did have a way out of this.
Yeah.
I did know that.
Yeah.
But I wasn't sure it was my way out of it. And I wanted my way, which I'm not going to get. In terms of the ease with which I hoped Things would be righted.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a longer road that's going to be difficult. And yet if my agony and if my giving to God, something that I think he asked me to give to him and the giving of that, if that's part of a healing process for someone else, I get it. I get a little more about why Jesus would, for the joy set before him, endure the cross, despising the shame. If this this results in a good godly work of wholeness and healing for some lives, then my agony would have been worth it. My loss at the moment, my grief right now would be worth it.
Yeah,
I couldn't have said that a week ago. I even thought about that scripture. And one of my things at God was, you know, Jesus at least had joy set before him. I've got nothing. I've got a whole blank future and I don't know where we're going. But now, having been through the last few days with you and some other folks, some other sharings, it does look like there's hope. And it wasn't what I thought it was. It's still in the balance, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We don't know how it's going to come out.
And there, like you said, there's so much unknown. And there's also that element too of, okay, Lord, what are you doing here? Right? Like as you're watching the other transformation and that other healing taking place, it's like, what's also going on here? Like
here in me?
Okay. Because I think of just the fact that God is so, like, he cares so deeply for the entirety of his beloved to be wholehearted, wholly alive. Mm-hmm. And knowing that in the midst of this, that the invitation for all parties involved is wholly alive.
And that's probably a lifetime process for each of us.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a way to be wholly alive in what you know and experience, and then find out, oh, there's another tripwire in my heart that you want to unpack with me.
Yeah.
And you think God would get tired of working on us.
Mm.
But I think of my old woodworker friend who used to say, you know, his joy is making the project, buffing, sanding, varnishing, sanding, revarnishing, sanding, you know. That God obviously delights in the process of our transformation. He could snap his finger. Every bad thing's gone. Every traumatic thing in your past is wiped out and you're wholly free to just live. And I guess we'll get that for each other. He knows we're going to get that there.
Yeah.
But I think there's wonderful things he wants to do here that we sometimes despise because we just want to be content.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we miss most of what we're talking about, Revelation, when God, every word. So when I wake up in the morning, I think of life as a treasure hunt. So what are you giving me today?
Yeah.
What are you, and not my old days where I'm going to seek God, I'm going to get some answers, and I'm going to make up my own answers when I don't have God's answers, I'm going to claim they're my answers. The whole idea, even the God seekers or whatever, some of that mentality, I was steeped in that. And I've been invited more and more into, I'm coming to you. Why don't you stop trying to come to me your way and find that space in your life where you can begin to recognize how I'm coming to you. What word, what thing are you seeing in nature? What song lyric is touching your heart? I had a friend, I love this, as a fairly new friend, and we had met a while back, and then we were on a long drive here. He was driving me to the next place I need to go, and he said, you know how God speaks to me? And I said, no, how's God speak to you? He said, rock lyrics from the 70s and 80s. And I said, how's that work? He said, he'll be driving in the car doing work on his place.
Yeah.
And he said, I was really into rock music when I was a kid, really into it. And he said, I'll hear a tune in my head and I'll just be kind of bopping around with the tune. And then I realize now the tune calls up a lyric and the lyric is what God's giving me that day. Or what God, insight into some situation he's in.
Yeah.
I just think that, I love that. I think that's exactly the way God would be. So the idea doesn't come, the music comes in his head. And then in playing with the music, a lyric comes from that song.
Yeah.
And then he raps, there's something in that that's going to help me That's God. That's God's. I love that. He said, that's the best way God speaks to me.
Wow.
For me, I would say it's scripture. Because I've devoured it my whole life. And yeah. I know people who don't like it. And, you know, it's got all they can read is the guilt and pain in scripture. But I'm telling you, when I'm in times like this, the 2 Corinthians 1 scripture.
Yeah.
I've read that every day during this thing. Just going, okay, I'm not alone. Paul was here.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's not an ungodly moment. It's not that I have failed miserably at my whole life to end up here. It's okay. That's not to say Wayne's a perfect dude, because I'd be the first to say I'm a work in progress. Thank God. I'm a Max Garden mess thing from the shack. Yeah. This is a mess. And yeah, perfectly in process. Sarayu says. So but scripture is a good one. Tender things that make me cry. And I don't remember crying much until the Living Love journey started for me.
Yeah.
I go to movies and it'd be sad and I'd be sad, but I wouldn't tear up. Now I tear up during a 30-second commercial if it touches a place in my heart that God is in working on or has been in and worked on. That there's tenderness there, even about fictional things, which is a little weird, because I can say in the movie, I know this isn't happening.
Yeah.
Or this commercial is specifically contrived to touch an emotional place in me. But I also can stand back and say, there's something God's showing me today.
Yeah.
Tearing up is a good indication. I see that in conversation with people, because I'll just be saying something and I watch them. I watch them tear up and I go, let's back up a minute.
Yep.
What just happened there?
Pause. Yeah, let's rewind and hold space for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then people get to see something. How we get out of the chaos and this gravity drawing us into the weeds, as we talked about last week, 6 months ago. I was telling Kyle, the last 3 weeks feels like 6 months ago. To remember the alligator eating the turtle, that is a long way back there, man. That's 3 weeks in dog years or whatever.
Yeah, no joke. Yeah.
But how is God making himself known? How do I know that he is? So if I'm not recognizing it, that's not on God. And I don't want it to go to, well, you're just a bad listener. So how bad you are. I think I want to go to the place where people would say, okay, God, I'm missing something.
Yeah.
And so but live lightly. Don't live like looking at every tree and bush and trying to find a picture of Mary or, you know, some kind of bird talking to you. Or don't get into that intensity thing. Cause I think that's where we make up stuff.
Yeah.
And well-intentioned stuff, but we, you know, when I said earlier that we've kind of moved away from Christianity with the idea that God wants to interact with each of us, moved away from that because one, it's difficult to do. It's difficult to learn to listen to that.
Yeah.
So it's easier to say, just trust me, I've got a sermon here.
Yeah.
It's also been abused so much. People, and God told me to, you know, cheat my partner out of this, or I could lie about that. I mean, God tells people to do some of the weirdest stuff. That's not God, but we've got a whole culture of people that I grew up around that likes to put God's name to any of their desires without any discernment at all. But to throw out the baby with the bathwater is then to say, God's not the revealing God coming. He came at us in the incarnation. Mm. He's coming at you in the spirit of God today. Mm. There's things he wants to show you that will set your heart at rest sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes what he shows you will challenge you to the core of your being. But if you lean into that truth, it opens doors into life that you don't have any idea. Mm. And so I know for me, the idea of not seeking my own comfort, but seeking the words of the Lord or the thoughts of God or the insights of God, and not putting my own comfort in the way of that. Because we all want to be comfortable. We all want our circumstances to work out well. We all want things to be convenient. But in the chaos of the world, that's not usually there. And people who are living there, I mean, you get it for a season. I've had seasons where I could look around and say, everything about my life is fabulous. I wouldn't change a thing. And then there's moments like that where I would change everything if I could. And I just love that God, if we develop those muscles, those perseverant muscles that you talked about, and that count it all joy, which that count it all joy is great because it's not joy. He's not saying, hey, be happy.
Yep.
He's saying, count this joyful, and because it's doing something you can't see yet.
Mm.
Even the pain and agony, even the can't sleep at night, even the tormentedness of my own soul is there's a joy in what God's doing in those things. And if God can't turn our tragedies into triumph, then what good is he really?
Mm.
when I think about the people in Ukraine right now, who, you know, one of the emails I put on my blog the other day, we pray every day this war will end. Well, if that's your only prayer, that's a great prayer. I'd pray every day the war would end too.
Yeah.
But they've been praying that for what, 40, 58 days. I don't know what it is now. It's almost 2 months, or it has been 2 months.
Yeah.
So it's been a long stretch. If that's your only prayer, then you end up hopeless every day.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm looking forward to it. It doesn't end. And I, some of my prayers in the last few days, God, stop this. Put this into play. Give me a conversation here, a touch there. And doors were closed and I couldn't get them to open. And so I'm praying for things that God's not doing because God's doing other things.
Yeah.
And I, that's a good indication, I think, when I'm praying for something that isn't happening. It's not, I'm not praying well enough, or God's a fraud. It's not really there. But God's doing better things, which is Ephesians 3 to me. You know, God exceedingly and abundantly beyond anything we could ask or think. So it's not, you know, you're praying for a Toyota and I'll give you a Lexus or something. It's not that. It's God's got so much at his disposal and so many people my life interacts with that my responding to this is not just about me and my comfort and happiness. And to me, that's what Jesus is saying. When it's just something as simple as changing stones into bread. But it's the difference between, is God saying this, or am I looking for my own convenience, comfort, meet my hunger, whatever?
Yeah. As you were just talking, I was just thinking about the boxes that we put God's voice in, whether it be God only speaks like this or God only speaks like that. And yet, I think for me, I had this lens of God only speaks in church, or God only speaks through the Bible. And those are the lenses that I had of like, God, this is how God speaks. This is how God comes for you. This is how God interacts with you. And I had such a hard time with that because it's like, I am a very thirsty man in an extremely dry land.
Yes.
That was my experience. And, and yet as I began to learn the heart of the Father and see his creativity, like we talked before, his specificity, the way that he comes for our heart in ways that are...
The scandal of particularity.
Yes, the scandal of particularity. Absolutely.
Because I think of that with me and my pain. I'm even thinking about with all that's going on in Ukraine.
Yeah.
How do you care about me in this little pool of my life?
Yeah.
But that is the nature of God.
Yeah.
He can be there with them and here with me and... With all of us, that's that scandal of particularity that's powerful if we can wrap our heads around it.
Yeah, and then the rest, love and play.
Yep.
I didn't know that God had a sense of humor. Yeah. I didn't until I was in a really challenging space in life and literally sensed a joke pop into my mind in a really dark place. It was like, I know that's not me because I am not in a joking space right now. And I just started like crying and laughing at the same time because it was so tender of God. Yeah. And I needed to hear that in that moment. And yet it's like, there's no way God tells jokes. Like, you know, like there's no way.
For me, I've never heard God tell a joke, but I've had him make a funny observation that just made me laugh. And I've never heard God say, hey, three nuns and a priest walk under the bar. Yeah. I've never heard that kind of thing.
It was that. Yeah.
But it makes me laugh and it lightens the moment.
Yeah.
And yet people who read the Shack said, you know, God, the Shack's too playful. Can't do that. We talk a lot about how people listening to God can get it wrong and put God's name to their own desires.
Yeah.
And I've done that. We've all done that. What you just talked about, though, I think we want to go back to and say, we do this when we say, oh, God just speaks through the scriptures because we're interpreting scriptures with our logic. And our logic can lead us to bad conclusions too.
Yeah.
That's what I want people to hold. You know, the scriptures to me are the sideboards. When I start getting off into the weeds, the scriptures for me are not telling me what I need to do or what I need to see. They need to tell me when I'm out of bounds.
Yeah. So, they're a good compass, a good grounding point. They're like, oh, wait a minute. Okay.
If you have a good interpretive scripture.
Yes.
If you have a legalistic God bashing people interpretation of scripture, then no, scripture's not going to be a good compass for you. It's going to lead you south instead of north. But if you do, but it's not just that. That's what people always do this reason or emotion.
Yeah.
And it's neither of those. Yeah. Reason is a part.
Yep.
Our emotions are a part.
Yep.
But there's something in you, which is the heart, which comes alive in the regeneration of Christ. And that heart is discerning in both places. Mm-hmm. It's discerning into the scriptures and logic, and it's also God's upending things, I think scripture said, that mm-hmm. I can tell you now scripture didn't say.
Yeah.
But I was taught poorly there, and I taught others poorly there, so I'll put myself on that block too.
Yeah.
So logic can lead you astray. Reason can lead you astray, absolutely.
Yeah.
But reason's not invaluable.
No. Because
reason can also lead you to life.
When
paired with a heart that's seeking God and discernment as to what God is breathing into me at the moment, and not just looking for comforting, safe stuff.
Yeah.
Then now, to me, that's where you fly. And I could feel it over the last 3 weeks. And that's what helped me kind of say, okay, God is saying this, because when I'm there, I'm flying above the chaos.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not that the chaos isn't impacting me.
Absolutely.
But it's not, I'm finding a thermal to lift.
Yep.
Now I'm going to get pulled back down again because the gravity is still all around me.
Yeah.
But then finding that space, but God, if it's this, then there's a lift. If I'm part of a healing process, I'm in. Yeah. If it's part of that, I'm in. If it's not just the wanton destruction of darkness tearing things apart of people around me, then that's where there's lift.
Yeah.
And so I've actually used my own stupid little chart over the last couple of weeks to go, okay, this is where there's lift, and a genuine lift.
Yeah.
Not slap a plastic thing on Wayne, a Band-Aid on something so Wayne feels better. It's not been that. But I also know the making it about me, and you can just feel the gravity. I could feel it in my tears and my prayers. It would shift from holding space for people I love to trying to get God to fix my deal for me. And that was that, and I could see it. I love that. I love what I'm learning in this time, but I'm telling you what, I would have traded everything I'm going through not to learn these things. I can't say it any closer than that. Yeah, that was fun. Hey, before we go, if you have any questions about this transformational love journey, specifically about revelation and how we recognize God revealing himself to us in very specific ways, why don't you write us, WayneJ@Lifestream.org, or use the contact at thegodjourney.com, and we'll try to answer your questions next time we're together.
Thank you for traveling with us today on The God Journey. You can join this conversation by visiting thegodjourney.com.